God, we enter in this morning with our own stories, things that we're wrestling with, situations that we're wanting more or wanting different or need healing. And I don't know what the story is in each person's life this morning, but we are seeking you not just for the answer of totally fixing the situation. We're praying for wisdom this morning, praying for your voice to speak into our life of what is our next step. Help us not to get too far down the road, and help us just to want your next step, whether it's in our relationship that we need to fix, or whether it's in a job situation, or whether it's in a family issue. Or God, I just pray over our church that as we really want to seek you. We know that the answer to all of where we want to go in our life is from you, and so we seek wisdom. And you say, you promise that if we seek you, that you give it generously without any kind of, like, you don't hold back. And so, God, we pray for wisdom this morning, both in our stories and also in the stories around us. And so, God, may you speak even in this time of worship and singing, or in the message, that you will give us that next step, that next piece of wisdom that you have for us. God, we want to trust with all our hearts you, and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, we want to acknowledge you, because you promise that you'll direct our paths. And so do that this morning. Direct us. Speak into this message that we have, and may you do more than we ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. So this whole series has been an interesting series, because we're really looking ahead 10 years, and it's almost hard to even kind of picture 10 years from now, you know, where technology will be, where our lives will be, how old our, you know, where our kids will be, for some of you, where your grandkids will be, or some of you are even wondering if you'll still be here in 10 years. You know, we all have no idea what the next 10 years will bring to our life, and yet we're coming into this series just kind of, again, asking God, and also, like, figuring out, God, how do I get to my best 10 years from now? What does our church look like in 10 years? What do we want it to be? What do we want it to be about? And where do you want us to go? And so I'm gonna step back for a second. All right, so this is the fall, and we do this thing called apple picking in the fall. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I don't enjoy the apple picking side of things necessarily. I enjoy the apple donut side, you know? And if you know the place where I'm talking about, that's the only reason I go, is because I just, those warm apple donuts with the sugar wrapped all around, just is, it's like heaven. You know, I think that's going to be on the Lord's table, right? You know, you got the communion and then the apple donuts. It's going to be a smorgasbord of great food. I'm all excited. My wife says, "Hey, we're going to go pick apples today." And she's like, "I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to get apple donuts." I'm like, "I'm in." So we're driving up to Watkins and up the hills and all that, and we're walking through the trees. And I was taken aback, really, just by the beauty of that. I don't know if you guys recognize. We went on a Thursday. I think it was a Wednesday, and luckily they make donuts on Wednesday. Just so you're aware, if you go on Thursdays, they don't make donuts. They only make it certain times, weekends, and I think a few other days. So plan that out. But I'm walking through this place with all these apples, and I'm amazed at the trees. I'm amazed. The trees aren't huge. I mean, you picture, have you been there? How many of you have been, like, there? There's a lot of you. Okay. Some of you have not had experience. But the trees are a little bigger than this. But as you look at the trees, they're just like fruit everywhere. Like, there's apples all, like, this little tree with all these apples on it. And I'm just walking through, and you know how they do it. They mark off certain lines so you can't get into it because they're not ready yet. And some of them are picked over already, but you're just walking by the ones that are, like, marked off, almost ready to go into. And I was just walking down the line. You're like, wowed by that. So we pick our apples. We come back, and the guy's there, you know, kind of measuring it, you know, kind of weighing it, and we're just talking about apples. And I'm like, that's pretty amazing. I mean, that amazes me, just to see the view of the apples all the way down, tree after tree, this filled with apples. And he's like, there's two ways that I do that, really. There's only the two main things of, I don't let the deer eat it, and I prune off thousands of apple, what do you call them, blossoms, you know, so it doesn't get overwhelmed in the trees. I'm like, you cut off thousands of them when there's still that many there. And I was just kind of thinking through the church, you know, and sometimes You know, that's the picture of what the church should be. Like this place that is like, there's fruit everywhere. There's like, things are happening. Like, God is at work. Stories of life changing. And actually, the picture I think the picture is walking down the aisle. Like, there are thousands of trees with all these fruit over it, right? All around. And I think that's really the more of the picture. The tree is not the church. The tree is you. You know, like, walking through here, you know, to be able to look around, I think God's vision, or at least my vision of what it's supposed to look like, is not that the church is doing all these great things, but the people of the church, the people of Higher Hope, the people who are a part of the kingdom of God, are producing this incredible, like, fruit. Like, there's a power to the people of God. There's something that God wants to do in their life. Let me just cast a little vision. I mean, not necessarily 10 years out, but just vision from Scripture, all right? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, well, okay, so think about that for a second. What he wants to produce in your life, what he wants to do in you, is produce love, to be loved and to give love. Love, joy. This idea of like your life is like a testimony to the joy that God gives. Love, joy, peace. That you're a peacemaker, and you're also a person of your life can be in chaos and you have peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's like looking at you. It's like, this is what I want to produce in your life. All these things, all these fruit in your life. And really, he's like, I have this beautiful picture of who you can be. John 15 says this. This is to my Father's glory. All right, so this is how God gets bragged on. That you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. He says, when God is glorified in people whose life is filled with fruit. And this picture of fruit is really throughout all of Scripture. Like the picture of Israel is this tree or this vine that's full of fruit. And I think if I'm looking 10 years down the road, that's what I'm praying for. And so I was wrestling with this message a little bit this week, trying to figure out, okay, where do you want me to go? I had a plan, and some guys God pivots or shifts the plan, and I at the center of producing fruit, at the center of you being who God designed you to be, at the center of the 10 years from now, where we need to be, at the center of it, is the thing that we talked about last week, and I just felt like we need to stay there again. It's this thing called discipleship. That as people grow as a follower of Jesus Christ, the fruit is, like, you, 10 years from now will be beautiful if you're just a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a scripture over in Matthew chapter 4. It says this. Do we have it on the screen? Jesus is talking. Well, we'll start in verse 18. It says, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. You may have read the scripture before. They were casting their net into a lake, for they were, I love the phrase too, they were fishermen. We have a past. We have a place that we were before. There was a place that we were kind of surviving. We were wrestling through. We were struggling through. We had some fruit. We were doing something. We were finding fulfillment somewhere, but it wasn't where God necessarily desired them. They were doing what they knew to do. They were just living the pattern out of what they've done day after day after day. They were in the hamster wheel, you know, just kind of doing life. And this is what they were. We all have a were, right? We all have a place where we have been. 10 years ago, we were someplace. And hopefully, that's where you were. If you're still where you were 10 years ago, that's not... You're not a full disciple. Like, discipleship is about change. Discipleship is about movement. Discipleship is about learning from Christ. And if you're still where you were 10 years ago, there's a problem. This is where they were, but this is not where they're called to be. This is, you ever look at this, like a short message, and you're like, there's so much in this? He says, Jesus says, come follow me. Let me just break that down a little. This is the heart of discipleship. This is the way we produce fruit. If you want 10 years from now for God to do more than you ask or imagine, this scripture might be central to where we want to be. If our church wants to be all that God has designed it to be, this scripture this morning is central to what God has called us to do. And this is what he does. Jesus comes and he says to somebody, says to these fishermen, he says, listen, I have a invitation for you. It's not, he doesn't force anyone in discipleship. Now, he doesn't force them, but he does kind of knock us across the head a few times. He does come by often. But he will not drag you into this relationship of discipleship. He offers and he offers and he offers. Then what he'll do is he'll take your scaffolding out. You know what scaffolding is, right? Scaffolding holds you up. And so you can work on the top of the house. Sometimes he takes your scaffolding out because he wants to do a work in your life. And he's like, hey, I want to invite you into this relationship. I want to invite you in. It's an invitation. Discipleship is always an invitation. It's always, he always invites us into his relationship, which is pretty cool because you really think about the disciples. They didn't deserve that invitation. There's nothing that they did to say, yeah, I deserve to be here. It's not like they sent in their application, right, their resume. Hey, Jesus, you know, this position of disciple is a pretty critical position. You know, I know that over the next however many years, you're going to start a movement with these people. And so I want to give you my resume, and here's what I have. In fact, they have no resume. They really don't know the Word of God like other people do. He says he walks by them, he sees them, he says, I want to invite you into a journey with me. I want to invite you into a life of change. I want to invite you into an adventure. I want to invite you to do life with me. Discipleship is an invitation. You can choose to step into discipleship, and you can really choose to step out of discipleship. You can say, hey, God, I want you to do a work in my life, and I'm going to partner with you, and I'm going to come on this journey with you. Or you can say, no, I'm good here. I'm comfortable here. Now, listen to me for a second. You can be in a church every Sunday and reject the invitation of discipleship. You can even be part of something. You know, you can go to an event and still say no to the, because you know what come means? That you have to leave something. You know what a good test of discipleship is? What has Jesus asked you to leave? If you're still where you were 10 years ago, if you're still hanging on to some of those things, maybe you haven't really responded to the invitation yet. He said, and I think it's a beautiful, let me just walk through the invitation. Come follow. You know what follow is? It's a leadership term. Follow the leader, right? I think we played that game in like preschool. You have one person up there and they walk around and they skip and everyone else has to skip. They jump. They have to jump. They have to run. Everyone else has to run. You have to do whatever the leader does. So listen to the invitation. Come follow. Come. Let me be a leader for you. Come. Just do what I do. Come be what I am. Come learn from me. Come. I know you're not where you're supposed to be yet. Do you understand that there was no like prerequisites yet? Hey, jump through these five hoops before you come. The invitation says, come, follow. Hey, I know you're not put all together. I know you're rough around the edges. I know you're fishermen. I know that your language may be rough at times. I know that you have like calluses in your hands and you're working class and everything. I know that you may not be rich, and I know that you don't go to church every Sunday. I know all that, but I'm still inviting you to come. You don't have to jump through any hoops. All you have to do is ask one hoop. Come, respond to my invitation. Come follow. Will you choose to have me as your leader? Do you trust me? Will you let me do a work in your life? Will you let me be the leader? Now, our modern religion, Christianity, in a lot of places, in a lot of our lives, is really flipped. Do you understand that? Like, a lot of times we're like, Jesus, come follow us. I want to go this way, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to bless me while I'm going this way, Jesus, I want you to come along. You're almost like pulling, you're praying, and you're like, God, I want you to bless this minute. I want you to bless this relationship, even though you're doing it not God's way. I want you to bless this thing. I want you to fix this issue. I want you to do this in my life. And we're pulling Jesus along. And Jesus says, No, you don't understand the invitation of discipleship. The invitation of discipleship is I want you to follow me. I don't want to be just along the ride with you and be someone who blesses what you want blessed. I want to be the leader. I want to lead you to abundance. I want you to lead you to fruitfulness. I want to grow you. And so he says, come follow, and here's the phrase, don't come follow a church or come follow a religion. Come follow me, Jesus Christ. So the real, you know what the real question is? Do you trust Jesus to lead your life? Do you trust him? And this is what discipleship is. Jesus, do I trust that you know what's best for me? Yes or no? Do you trust that he is faithful, that he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do? Do you trust that he's good, that he loves you and he wants what's best for you? Do you trust that his power is perfect? That his do you trust him in the midst of navigating this crazy world? You ever like feel like you're walking through a minefield in life? You know, you're like, and sometimes you feel like you step on the mine, everything blows up, and you're in trouble. And I'm like, Jesus knows the mine. I'm just kind of hang on to the back of his like robe or whatever he's wearing these days, you know. And I'm like, steer me through the minefield. I want to follow you. Well, keep going. So do we trust Jesus? Come follow me. And that's not where it finishes either. And he says, I will make you. Now think about that phrase for a second. He says, this is what you'll do. It doesn't say that. He says, I will do a work in your life. Discipleship is not so much about our efforts a lot of times. All we're doing is following, and Jesus does a change in us. He's doing work. The Bible says this, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. He's working. In fact, Philippians says that we need to partner with him as he works in us. Like he is doing the change. He's doing the work. You read the Gospels and you realize how many times that Jesus should have given up on the disciples and realized that he kept working. He kept changing, he kept challenging, he kept speaking truth in their life. By the way, part of him making is having a mirror set up to your life. Probably the scariest thing in life is being able to look at yourself as you really are. Like the Bible says, full of grace and truth. You know, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. You know, we love the grace side, right? We love the fact that he loves us as we are. I don't know. I maybe it's just me. I'm scared of the truth side, or the other look is light. You know, he's the light of the world, and you think, oh, that's so nice. He's the light. Well, you know what a light does? A light shines and it shows all your flaws. It's like a high beam in the mirror while you're looking at yourself, and you're like, I don't know if I want to stay in this mirror anymore. I'm just telling you that part of that change, as he's making you, is he starts showing you things that you may not be good with. Some things that you need to change, some things that you need to kind of bring out of the closet and hand over to him. Some things that you haven't dealt with in 20 years, and it's causing you to do the same thing over and over and over again, the same mistakes, the same, you're wondering why you're where you are today is because you're still hanging on to something from 20 years ago. And Jesus is like, let me just show a high beam on that. Can I tell you, this discipleship process, although it's beautiful, is not easy. He's like constantly showing truth. And it's scary. Because the reason you guys come in and we sit like this and we sometimes don't want to get involved in a relationship is because we want to keep people walled off a little bit. If they don't really know me, they can't really reject me. Isn't that fair to say? If they don't really see the real me. And part of discipleship is allowing Jesus to take his light and walk through our houses. Like, you ever watch Everybody Loves Raymond's old show? You know, the mother-in-law, she's walking through the house. Oh, that looks like a little dusty there. You know, it's like having your mother-in-law walk through your house if it hasn't been cleaned in years. You know what I mean? Like that sort of, it's like allowing Jesus to see every little piece of you. But understand, he's still full of grace. He knows you. He knows every piece of you. He knows what he wants to bring healing to. He knows what he wants to do the work. And he all that he does is full of grace. But you need truth. And I'm just, maybe that's why we need people in our life. That's why maybe we don't need, we need to maybe worship together, yes. But maybe even more than worship, we need a group of people who will be like this, like, will bring truth to our life. We need people to speak truth to us. You're an idiot. You know, we need that. We need someone who can say that. And we'll still be friends with them afterwards. Don't we? Don't you need an idiot person? I know we, listen, I know the other side. I know there's a lot of people we want to say that too. Right? We want to tell a lot of, but there's few people that we really have the change in our pocket we can say that to. But who do you invite in to have them tell you that truth? I am an idiot. I'm not only an idiot, I'm a blind idiot. Do you know what that means? I can't even see the stupid stuff that I'm doing a lot of times. I don't even but we need grace and truth. And this is what he says, and I will make you fishers of men. He says, I'm gonna invite you in to purpose. I'm gonna make you into something that's gonna produce lots of fruit in your life and in the life around. I'm gonna make you into a disciple maker. He invites us and he transforms us because he says all of us are called to make disciples, to do life on life, to kind of invest in people, to speak into people's life. You know, this is what we're wrestling with as elders, as leadership of the church. We're like, we want to be discipleship to be the core of our church, right? We want to grow people. You know, think about that for a second. If we grow our teenagers into who God has called them to be, whether they're here or not, who cares? I mean, whether they move away to California or Alaska or wherever, it doesn't matter. We're trying to equip them so that they can be all they got, so they can be fruitful tree wherever they are. You know, what our children and our children's ministry, we want to equip them. We want to invest in them. We want our teachers not to do childcare. That's a waste of our time to do childcare. What we want to do is invest in them because we want to disciple them. You don't have to be a great teacher to be a disciple maker. Do you know that? You don't have to know it all to be a disciple maker. You don't have to have the Word of God memorized. You don't have to have all your theology together. You know what you have to do to be a disciple maker? Follow Jesus Christ because he's going to lead you to be a disciple maker. He's going to bring people in your life. The people are going to be right in your life. And all you're really doing, if you want to be a disciple maker, is you're sharing what God has already done in your life in some way. The gospel has transformed you, and all you're sharing is, man, the gospel has transformed me. You don't have to say it in those exact words. Sometimes it's like, man, God was good to me this weekend. You'll never guess what happened. Man, there was this moment this weekend that I saw the sunset, and it was absolutely amazing. I know that there is a God. You know, you can say it in your own way. You can put it in your own terms. But you let the gospel flow out of every. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't even have to be. Just be you as you're rubbing off on people. As people know that you're a fan of the Bills, they're 2-0. I understand. They beat they're the best team in New York. Yay. Happy about that. But listen, as much as people, you rub off on that, rub off on being the gospel-centered, right? You know what I mean? That God has transformed your life, and he's still transforming your life. Teach what you know. Like, you learned something this week. You learned something in the service. God said something to you. Tell someone about it. It's not always down, you know, it's always, not always the person you feel like needs to be discipled. It's just people. We disciple each other. You share that with me, you're discipling me. Does that make sense? We're not called to be static. We're not called to do life by ourselves. Man, time goes so fast when I'm like, I want to end with this story of, I think it's in Luke chapter 7. And it's about discipleship. And Jesus is coming across these people. And he's talking to them about disciples. And this is what it says. As they were walking along the road, this is him and the disciples, the one that chose to follow him. A man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. It's like, I'm in. I'm responding to the invitation. I'm going to do this. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Let me just translate that for you in a way. Discipleship is not always comfortable. Discipleship sometimes is him removing things. Sometimes, you know, we pray for our comfort. We pray for our kids' comfort. We pray for them to be financially stable. We celebrate their salaries when they get to that age. But God has not, discipleship is not about comfort. Discipleship is really uncomfortable. And he says, hey, if you're going into discipleship thinking that I'm going to bless you and make you healthy and wealthy, don't do it, because it's not going to happen. If you want to experience the adventure of not having things and I'm providing for you, and that we don't know where the next meal is coming from, but he still eats, if you want to come along this journey of like crazy, I don't know how God's going to show up in this, then step. Don't let comfort be the reason you choose to follow Christ. Let Christ be your comfort. It's all you need. Number two says this. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. I'm too busy. Someday I'll follow you. Someday I'll do that whole fruit thing. Someday I'll try to have the fruit of the Spirit. Someday I'll get into ministry serving someday. And he says, someday is not a great answer. Come follow me. It's an invitation today. Then still another says, I will follow you, Lord, but... I won't even read the rest of it. Do you understand how those two words don't go together? I'll follow you, Lord. Get the Lord, you know, like master, leader. But, once you say but, that's kind of like contrary. You get that, right? I mean, how many buts do we have on the discipleship journey? How many like, but I got to take care of this first. But I have this to worry about. But just the reason I wanted to nail this down again another week is because sometimes I move fast, right? I mean, that's the way life goes. You know, we're busy. We move on. Next message. Next message. Next message. Next Sunday. Next Sunday. Next Sunday. And we're going. And sometimes we got to sit someplace. And just, here's the word: let it marinate. Let God work. Because if discipleship is the main thing, maybe we need to be here a little while. Maybe some of you need to wrestle with the fact that where am I in that decision? Come follow me? I don't know. All I know is this, is our goal in 10 years is that we have trees that are healthy producing fruit. And the only way we can get there is discipleship. Is to invite you in to what maybe God wants to do in your life and see what God does as he works in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this whole discipleship thing, you know, we talk about it. In fact, if we've grown up in the church, we've heard about it over and over and over again. And yet, sometimes we drift from the main thing. We drift from following you, the simplicity of that. We drift from listening to your voice. We drift from allowing you to work in our life. We drift, and God, we want to come back to the main thing. As a church, we want to help people become all that you've designed them to be. As individuals, God, I pray that you help us to respond to the invitation. Your invitation. The greatest invitation that we can ever receive. God, help us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. So.